everybody. How are you?
If you don't mind. I know you're out loud, but it's actually for recording purposes.
Oh, we recorded. I see.
With certain.
How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Today I'm going to talk about Philadelphia poetry. Basically, I'm not trying to define Philadelphia poetry. I don't know if you really can define Philadelphia poetry. I'm just going to sort of share my thoughts. As someone who feels, first of all, let me clarify that as a poet, I identify myself as a spoken word poet, okay? And I think that distinction needs to be made because I think even after having been on Deaf Poetry Jam and having performed all over the country and having, you know, had people as far away as New Zealand and Germany and, you know, the United Kingdom purchase my CDs and, you know, and stuff like that, I still feel as though there is this sense of, you know, certain folks in poetry, right, the more traditional letters, so to speak, tend to look down at spoken word poetry, even now, okay? And so I just want to make that distinction. I am a spoken word poet. I'm proud to be a spoken word poet. And I do identify myself as being a spoken word poet from Philadelphia, or at least repping Philadelphia. I'm not from Philadelphia. I'm actually from Jersey. I'm from South Jersey. I grew up there. Not born there. I was born in Korea, but grew up in South Jersey. And for those of you, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the culture in South Jersey, can be a very strange mix of very rural, but also kind of an urban sensibility, and that's because we are so close to Philly. And I think that some folks in South Jersey might even say that, you know, Jersey is like East Philly. So, you know, very much grew up proud to be, you know, growing up in you know, the Philadelphia area. And so, you know, outside but inside in other ways too. I did live in the city for a number of years. I did my master's and my PhD here at Temple University. I've taught here in the city for almost 15 years, both at Temple University and now at Community College of Philadelphia. I started here writing poetry and performing as a spoken word poet here in Philadelphia at the Asian Arts Initiative back when, you know, now they're on Vine Street, but the Gilbert Building space, which was on Cherry Street, which now doesn't exist anymore. Because that building has been raised in order to build a parking lot or a parking garage for the convention center. But very much identifying with the Chinatown community. And also, in terms of being outside but inside, we, as a spoken word poet, quote-unquote, getting discovered and becoming a part of the national tour scene. I didn't do what, or Katsi and I have to sort of include my poetry partner Katsi, even though she's not here today. I mean, when we got started, we didn't do what other folks did. Like, we weren't running off to New York every week slamming and trying to get on a national slam team or anything like that. We got started here in Philly, and that's because we got involved when spoken word came to us. And how that happened was, Deaf Poetry was doing a slam tour. They were doing a national slam tour, and Philadelphia was the third city on their stop. They started in New York, then they went to Boston, they came to Philly, and we slammed. And that's how we, quote unquote, got discovered by Deaf Poetry, and then sort of took off from there. Almost immediately started performing nationally. 2 months after we slammed for Deaf Poetry here in Philadelphia, we were in Denver and also in Aspen, Colorado, performing. And then from there, it's just been all over the country. So, you know, when we first got started, there wasn't really a spoken word poetry scene here per se. I mean, we had to, you know, we slammed for Deaf Poetry, we came outside, we came from New York, and then when we wanted to practice slamming, there really weren't any slam venues here. So we actually, instead of going all the way up to New York, we went to Trenton. And so we were slamming in Trenton, and this is like 2000, 2001, something like that. So I perform all over the country, and we, like I said, we rep Philly, but we don't necessarily find ourselves in Philly performing a lot, which is very interesting for us because being from Philadelphia, we sometimes wonder why it is that we don't get asked to perform in Philadelphia more often. But this is something that I've really, these questions are ones that I've been thinking about a lot lately, because since I do tend to go to cities like all over the country, like one of my favorite places to perform is Minneapolis, and we've been doing actually a lot of West Coast was performing. We've been in the Bay and in LA and a lot lately. And so one thing that I've really been wanting to do is trying to figure out a way to build more community here in Philadelphia. Because as a spoken word poet, I tend to feel as though the communities that represent spoken word poetry, which to me, Philadelphia spoken word poetry is like poetry for the people. You know what I mean? It's very accessible. Folks identify with it. And even though it's not the case where everyone can be a spoken word poet, like I don't think that just because you get up on the mic and you know, say a bunch of stuff doesn't necessarily mean that you're a good spoken word poet. I mean, there are certain, rules. I don't want to say rules, but there are certain things that you look for in order to determine if someone is a good spoken word poet. But I tend to feel as though here in the city, because for the past few years, there's definitely been more of an emerging spoken word scene. I do feel as though various communities are very separate and in their own way, kind of insular as well. And in the last year, I've been trying to do some connecting and community building, but it's been really very kind of difficult. I think that in the spoken word community, there's some distrust. And I think that the reason why there's that distrust is because, you know, we look at each other and we say, well, what is it that you're after? You know what I mean? Because since deaf poetry came along, there's a way in which spoken word has become very marketable. You know what I'm saying? And there are people out there who are trying to figure out, now that deaf poetry doesn't exist anymore, like how do we blow up now? And so is it really about the love for poetry, or is it really about promoting oneself? And so these are questions that come up for me all the time. And when I go out into the communities and I'm looking at the various, you know, spoken word venues and going to the open mics and seeing the folks that are there, that's what I'm asking myself. I'm sort of asking myself, well, what is it that's motivating people coming up here? Is it because they feel as though they have this, they feel compelled that there is this thing inside them that's pushing them, and that they want to be an artist, and they want to develop the craft, and they want to know what spoken word poetry is, and they want to look at who all the old heads are, and like who came up before, and what is the history of spoken word poetry, and how do you craft a good spoken word poem, and how do you go from the page to the stage, right? How do you perform that in a way where you're emotionally engaging your audience? How do you do all of those things and still sort of stay true to the art form itself? Because there are so many people, in my opinion, nowadays, who are just really pimping it out so that they can be something else, whether it's a rap star, or get into movies, or get signed as a manager or an agent. You know what I'm saying? So these are questions that come up for me because, number one, Cassie and I really haven't done so much. We haven't been very active in the Philadelphia spoken word poetry scene, and so I've been trying to do more of that. But not only that, not only trying to build something in Philadelphia, but also just trying to build something along the East Coast in general. So I've also been trying to hook up with folks in D.C. and Baltimore and New York, because I think that there are ways in which the cities are very similar to one another in terms of their spoken word scene. So when I talk to folks in D.C., I hear about all of these open mics that are going on around the city, these open mics and slams and so forth, but how are they connecting to one another? Because they tend to be representing different communities, you know? And it's sort of the same thing in Baltimore. And you could probably look at New York and say the same thing, right? So when I say building across communities, I am emphasizing communities of color. I'm talking about the APIA spoken word community, and then largely spaces which are predominantly African-American spoken word spaces, and then also Latino spoken word spaces. I'm looking at how we're staying separate and how we can try to bridge. But in terms of, just to sort of wrap up what I'm talking about here, in terms of when I go out, when Cassie and I go out and perform, and we say that we're from Philadelphia, I think that how we get perceived, right, as being spoken word folks from Philadelphia, is that somehow or another we do have some credibility, right? They're expecting us to have some skills, lyrically, right, as well as the way we deliver. And it's a little bit different, you know, than saying, I was just talking to a friend of mine who's a spoken word poet, when he He lives in Minneapolis now, but before that he lived in Chicago. He's originally from the Bay Area. And he was saying that he was describing to me this weird sort of tension that goes on between Minneapolis and Chicago, because when Minneapolis spoken poets come to Chicago, the Chicago poets are even like the MCs and the rappers sort of look at them like, shh, you're from Minneapolis. How could you come here to spit? You know what I'm saying? So they have to sort of fight for credibility. But I don't think that Cassie and I have to do that. I think we're sort of given some, we're just sort of given the benefit of the doubt, and we have to sort of prove it, you know, once we get on stage. So I don't know that we necessarily have to fight against, questioning credibility. We sort of just have to live up to having some street cred, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But in terms of repping Philadelphia, for me, Philadelphia represents this sort of gritty place, but also very tender, right? There's a hardness to Philadelphia, but there's also vulnerability. And for me, all of those things that I just described sort of capture the spirit of the people that I know here, right? The people that I teach, the people that I work with, the people that I meet every day. And through my poetry, that's really what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to capture that grittiness, yet that tenderness, that hardness, yet that vulnerability. Okay, so it's really about focusing on the spirit of the people for me. As far as Philadelphia poetry. Okay, thank you. That's all.